Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Spotify, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn, Radio Public, wherever you're listening to us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. As you can tell if you're watching this on YouTube, by my guideliner, I just want to say hi again to the real fuck you, or no, the real F you. Who wondered if I was a transvestite? I'm not.
Yeah,
but,
I read about that.
But I'm wearing makeup right now, so just for you. Anyway, we got a great show. And somebody was asking me what guests pulled out this week. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about
love it.
Actually, we've been talking up a storm already. Two of the most talented people I know. Two people that have been in show business for a long time and will be for a long time to come because they're both very talented. They're both on the show that I produced, and everybody was raving about both of them. Here she is. She's been on the show before. You know her.
Hello.
The former lead singer of Otto's Daughter,
yes.
Now making her name as a fashion designer with her solo work, and also about to start her own podcast.
Yeah.
That's Jacqueline Van Bjerk.
Hello, hello.
And yeah, everybody's got three names except for me. Jacqueline Van Bjerk, and right next to you is veteran comedian, very funny. He's got stories upon stories upon stories. I've been trying to get him on the show for a long time, and I guess all I had to do was ask, because here
That's
he is.
That's all you have to do is ask.
Franchi San Pedro.
Hey, how you doing?
It's a very international show, because you're Cuban, right, Franchi?
I am.
You're Cuban. You're German.
German.
And I'm...
And we meet right in the middle. It'll be fine.
I'm a European mutt, yes, so... You know, when those Germans and Cubans get together, we'll see what happens.
We're good engineers, too. We can make things run forever. You just create them new.
Yes. So before I get started, I want to... Hannah, by the way, my co-host, is not here tonight. I really want you to meet her, though.
I know.
At some point, because you guys are going to be best friends. But and you met her.
I've
you
met
hung
her.
Out,
I
and
think
you
she's
hung out
fantastic.
Her. But
at the Whiskey, I think.
Yes, I did a show at Whiskey. You came by, and I appreciate that. And that's... We were talking... Regaling us about stories about the '80s and all that stuff,
yeah.
And we'll get some of those on the air.
Some of those I have to rewrite and read because I forgot.
I can imagine. Well, if you partied in the '80s and you remembered it, you weren't really there.
Nah.
Yeah, exactly.
You're making shit up. Well, speaking of that, Audible. Speaking of stories, if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, once again, audibletrial.com/DMS, you get a free book. And a free 30-day trial and two Audible originals. That's for free. You don't have to pay anything. You're on the road. You're on the road.
That's a deal.
You just flew to Europe. I'm sure you had to get some entertainment somehow.
I was binging TV.
Really?
Like movies.
I have my mom read me books.
Well, that's the thing.
I have
Audible.
Her record them. She feels good.
Yeah. So you have your own personal Audible. But
yep.
If you don't, go to audibletrial.com/DMS. You can get The Heroin Diaries by Nikki Sixx.
Mm.
If you want some Hades.
Actually, I want to read
that. Good.
That was there.
If you want some Hades
like
stories, I can imagine. They got all sorts of books about comedy. They have comedy albums. They have comedy albums by everybody.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And any comedy album you can think of. Carlin Classic Gold, Richard Pryor. No, the only two.
Paul Lynn?
Not Paul Lynn.
Paul Lynn made two.
I'd have to look that up. I don't think they have every... Well, I know they don't have Bill Cosby or Louis C.K., which is, you know.
Well, there's enough exposure on them, that's why.
They used to, no. And it was just weird because they do have Aziz Ansari's book, and he got in a little trouble. So I don't know what their policy is. They have Brody Stevens' last comedy album, which is great. And, you know, remember him for the laughter that he gave, or whatever. They got Jim Gaffigan, they got everybody. They got Tig Notaro.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, they got all sorts of comedy. Remember record stores, I paid $22 for George Carlin Classic Gold. Get it free on Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Also, you get two Audible originals. What are Audible originals? They are programming that Audible does themselves. You remember the movie Alien 3?
Huh?
Think of what it could be, because one of the Audible originals this month is the script by William Gibson. You're familiar with William Gibson, the author? He was a big cyberpunk author in the 90s,
uh-huh.
early 2000s. He wrote a script for Alien 3 that was never used.
Oh, yeah?
Now.
So alternative.
Yeah, so on Audible, they have Michael Biehn, Lance Hendrickson, and a cast do Alien 3 run through the script. I want to check that
That's
out.
That's cool. Yeah.
That sounds good.
They also have sci-fi novels narrated by John Waters, Zachary Quinto.
John Waters is cool. I like
I love John Waters. They have a new Audible original with the one that's on Saturday Night Live now. The one that's great on Saturday Night Live now.
Which one?
Help me out. The one that's the one that's great. Everybody else.
Well, there's a few. I mean, but,
the one that was a Ghostbusters. The
oh, Ghostbusters. Leslie Jones.
No. The white
she
one.
She is fun though.
The white one. You should have said that.
The white one. The white.
Oh. I don't remember her name.
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon.
Yes. Oh, she is so awesome. Good.
Kate
yes.
McKinnon
when
has
she does stuff.
Funny.
It's just like eerie.
Kate McKinnon. Has an Audible original where she plays like the Wicked
Witch.
Oh,
she does?
It's great. It's great. Audibletrial.com/DMS. By the way, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I think Kate McKinnon is the best person they've had on Saturday Night Live since Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
Besides Kristen Wiig. Kristen Wiig was really good, too.
She wasn't as funny as Kate McKinnon.
No, Kate McKinnon is very,
Kate
very
Kate McKinnon comes out.
And she, I mean, when she does, when
she's
she gets
so
into character,
like, yeah.
It's like,
it's so
how
original,
can you break
so
this?
So different. Yeah. And so funny. And she can play anyway. Now, Kristen Wiig's good. I'm not saying she's not good.
But I agree with you. She transforms into anything.
Like
that's crazy.
Like Eddie Murphy, Belushi, Bill Murray, people right. like that just popped off the
she's
screen.
Got a certain charisma.
She's got does. That. She's she got does. That. But anyway, so go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Either that, Bob Newhart has an Audible original where he interviews Will Ferrell, Sarah Silverman, and Jon Apatow and Kern.
I have to see this now.
Well, it's on. Well, you got to listen to it. It's on Audible.
Well, and I'm not going to see it. I mean, I have to see where I get it. And
yes, audibletrial.com/DMS. Also,
I'm sold.
Also, I don't know if either one of you are vegan, but if you, it doesn't really matter.
What, vegan or vegan?
Vegan. We were talking about this when you were hanging out with Hannah, because Hannah's vegan.
My daughter's vegan.
Go take her to Doobie's Home Cooking, because you would love it. She will love it.
Really? Doobie's?
Doobie's. My daughter. Works,
oh, yeah, I love Doobie's. Doobie's. Yes. Doobie's. Yes. Doobie's.
I haven't
yes.
been there. My daughter works at Sage.
It's like vegan.
It's like vegan junk food.
Vegan junk food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Doomies. Doomies.
You would
Home
love
cooking.
It. You would love it.
Okay.
They have like bacon strips and stuff. Like, oh,
yeah. You know what's really funny? I'm not a vegan.
Yeah.
But I will eat vegan food and enjoy it.
You'll love it.
It's
yeah.
better now.
You'll yeah. love it. They have. You would never even know. They have shrimp.
Oh, we were kids.
Shrimp po' boys.
There you go. That's what you get.
No, here's what they got: Philly cheesesteak, fried chicken.
Yeah.
Shrimp po' boys. They have a Mexican restaurant right next door. Next mess. That has, I had a, last time I was there, I had a carne asada burrito, wet, delicious. They got flautas, biggest flautas I ever had.
Really?
Go to 1253 Vine Street, right in the corner of Valentine Vine. You remember the M Bar?
Yeah.
Right next to the M Bar.
Okay, I forget, yes. Yeah.
And also, there's two restaurants in Culver City and one in Toronto, Canada. Doomies Home Cooking. The
Doomies?
Doomies.
As Doomies. In Doomie?
As in doom and gloom, D-O-O-M-I-E-S.
I like it the other way, but I'll remember it this way phonetically.
Don't take your daughter to Doomies. Take her to Doomies.
Well, I'm not Trump, yeah.
Exactly, yes.
That dessert's already good, too.
Yes. Oh,
that's so good.
Deep-fried Oreos, chocolate cake.
See, I can't have that.
Carrot cake. Morgan had a carrot cake. It was delicious. It was huge. But then again, you know, who wants carrot cake with meat in it? Anyway, so... there she is. As Jacqueline Rambier.
Hello.
You just got back from France.
I did.
Oh, what were you doing there?
I went to the Mida Music Festival /conference,
yeah.
which is like a 4-day, just like music business, artists from all over Europe.
Yeah.
Publishers, labels, managers.
Now, are you bigger in Europe or in America these days?
What?
Are you bigger in Europe or America these days?
I am big in my own head.
No, but I mean, we went over this last time. You were in the industrial band.
Autostore, yeah.
And now you're doing more EDM stuff. Although I listened to your latest song, which we might play a little later, and it's a little it's heavy. It's going back more to an industrial sound.
Which one?
What was it called?
Jump?
No, not Jump.
I go back and forth. I'm like a little, you know.
But
I do the dark and the light. Like I love EDM, I love dance, and I also love the dark shit. Like so, I always go, you know, back and forth. You know, Otto's Daughter started in the States, so I didn't do that in Germany.
Oh, Daggers.
Daggers. Oh, yeah, that's actually an older song. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, is that kind of, is that the...
I performed that at your show.
Yep.
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
yes, you did. You were great.
That was a
Thank
great
you.
Show, by the
Thank
way.
You.
I enjoyed watching.
Thank you. I had fun.
You came out, and this is at a weird place. We had a bunch of comics and strange acts. You came out. Balloons fell from the sky. I left because I was, you know, I was on stage for a while. I was a little hot, so I went to get some air. came back, and all these guys in the first few rows are dancing and they're going crazy. Everybody was just having a great time.
That's the goal every time I play a show. I want it to be very interactive, you know? I think like the audience should be part of the show. That's my goal.
I've seen reluctant audiences be part of the shows. They weren't reluctant. They were happy. They were loving it.
Yeah, everyone was participating pretty well when you were up there. They enjoyed what you were doing, so it was easy to interact.
It was also a great crowd, actually.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good crowd.
Really cool crowd.
So are you big? So because you're doing more EDM, which I it's big in the States, but I think in Europe, I think it's...
Well, that's why I went to meet him. I'm just kind of starting out again, basically, you know, as my solo act, because Otto's daughter is gone. And so that's why I went there, to just like promote my music and get some publishers and labels interested and collaborate with like European artists, you know. It was just great. And it was right by, it's at Cannes, I guess it's Cannes or Cannes, I can never...
The Cannes Film Festival.
The Cannes Film Festival. So that's the same place.
Right.
Except it's for the music. So the whole vibe was like awesome, you know. It's like right by the ocean, like or by the water. And
any big collaborations?
There's a few talks, but nothing is, you know. Talk is talk, right?
Yes. Nothing solid yet.
Nothing solid yet, yeah.
Well, it was interesting because I was doing some more research on you. What I forgot to bring up last time you were on is that a lot of your songs have been featured in TV shows like Oprah.
Yeah.
Like, or did you do original music for
that? That was different because I wrote original music for that.
So
that was like music library music. So it's just instrumental music for it. I composed as well.
Oz, Oprah.
Yeah, Nate Berkus, the kind of stuff. Yeah, that was like for making music for music libraries, which is like different than being an artist or like being a singer-songwriter. Because it's a slight difference between, you know, making background music that should not be distracting the dialogue.
Oh, is that the trick? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
My family's usually on Springer, but, you know, they don't play music.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Springer's been, I'm trying to think when they've had fights, I think they would ring a bell and stuff. But
yeah. That's
about it.
Yeah. That's my family.
Yeah. Oh, Jerry Springer?
Always.
Yeah. So, but how do you get your song on Oprah? That's pretty good. How does that pay?
It paid decent. It paid pretty good because it's also syndicated and it's like in all over the world. It came because I was a member of that company called Taxi Music. And so it's all like getting to conferences and meeting people and, you know, collaborating with other people. And then somebody recommended me to a library. They were like, hey, she's really cool and she does some really good stuff. And at the time, I was actually not that good. I was just starting out.
But it helped
like,
you get better.
It helped me get better, for sure.
That's great.
And I really like that because it's different than being an artist and writing a song because you don't have to think of lyrics. You just like write, you know, very basic but like either intense, you know, drama tension or something uplifting depending on the situation. Like somebody, you know, tells a story like, oh, and then some happy ending kind of thing. So you want to support that that emotional scene.
That's another type of scoring, the happy ending.
Yeah.
We've all heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
porn scoring is a whole different thing. But you know, you get a car.
Yeah, I bet it would be. Ta-tum!
You got to get the wah-wah guitar and the bongos and the whole thing. I don't know. But have you thought about scoring movies? Has anybody approached you about that?
Yeah, and in the future, maybe, yeah. I'd love to do a TV show. That'd be so awesome.
Right. It's just weird because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm trying to think. There's not a lot of women scorers, and I don't know why.
There is a few, and I think it's now that, you know, in this kind of climate we're in right now, there's more support.
Right.
You know, women are really getting hired more because in the past, no, there weren't really many women, you know, being hired. Like, it's usually the guys that get the gig because it's a man's world.
It is.
It's changing.
It's changing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
They really
because
put
we're
a lot
losing
of
a lot of talent if we don't do that.
Yeah. And there's a lot of girl producers, women composers, you know, women that do movies.
I'm sure.
And, yeah. So they being brought to light more now.
But I'm trying
it's
to think,
changing.
Like, you know, every movie I see, it's Danny Elfman or Hans Zimmer or somebody else like that.
It's almost also like, you know, once there's a bunch of composers who are really famous and they love their work, they want that. You know, where they would even tell us, like, we want something like Danny Elfman. Like, can you make that? You know? Yeah. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, it puts you in a hard place because you want to be able to do something that's different and
your
good.
Your fingerprint, yeah, exactly.
But they keep you under your glass because, oh, we want this, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you be more like Leno? Huh.
Oh, did you ever get that? There's Franchi here.
No, Leno. When I first started out, I would get, hey, can you be a little more like this guy or this? No, man, you know, I am who I am.
Right. And when did you start?
I started 35, let me see here, in 1979.
Wow.
You know.
When you were 5 years old.
You were five years old.
Yeah, I know. Wish. I started in high school.
40th anniversary.
Yeah. I started in high school, and then I worked for a magician a couple of times locally in Monrovia in Arcadia.
Yeah.
At like the VFWs type thing.
Okay.
And then.
Did you do comedy? Or
yeah,
just
stand
like,
up.
Okay. So
you know, which was mostly ripoff from anybody I could.
That's
just to get it working.
That's everybody,
you know?
Starts, yeah.
And then I went to the store, went to the comedy store before it even had the building around it, you know, the walkway. It was all
dirt.
Oh,
okay. Oh, wow.
First person I saw was Skip Stevenson on stage.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and later
Skip
on.
Skip Stevenson, who was in Real People.
Yeah.
Which I have to explain what Real People is.
Real People was like.
It was probably the first reality show.
Yeah, kind of reality where they'd show clips and, you know.
It was a weird show, and it was a huge show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's really, it's never been rerun, so. People don't know what people, I guess, can see it on YouTube, but
I guess they could, but yeah.
Yeah, basically, it was kind of reality. Like, it was like the name suggests, real people, and that they would have like little vignettes, a little, you know,
little tapings, little things of things that had happened to real people. And
they'd either go out on the road and interview these people, or they would have them in the studio.
Right.
And it was like the first kind of reality show.
Right.
Wow.
It was before America's Got Talent and. All that stuff.
Right, right. Except these weren't necessarily entertainers. They were just...
No, they're just different people.
Yeah, yeah. So...
They're real people.
So you saw Skip Stevenson. So what did you think about that?
Well, that was... I enjoyed that. And then Charlie Hill I met
right.
in the beginning. And Harris Pete and all these guys. I mean, you kid. I'm like bushy, wide-eyed, you know, and stuff.
And were you still under 21?
No. I was exactly 18 when I went there the first time.
Okay.
And then I went in the service for a little while and came back out and went straight there. You couldn't keep me away from there. Where everybody else was, you know, surfing and everything in my area, I had to go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, people go to the mall, I went to Hollywood.
So what was your first set at the Comedy Store like?
Oh, it was not good.
Yeah.
You know, I would work there and get my spots whenever I could. And then I started out at the Laugh Factory when it was a hole in the wall, a real hole in the wall, a little stage in the back.
Well, see, I can't even imagine that.
Oh, I know, but I used to, with a friend of mine, Glenn Rabney, we used to grab people from the store and walk them to the Laugh Factory.
Oh, wow.
And talk them into going into the... I used to bark
out. That's not a short walk either.
No, but... You know, shit, I was, what, 20?
Did Jamie give you a cut or what?
No, I didn't get no cut from him.
Hey, buddy, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the store. Yeah. I want you to get some people. Have them walking down here.
First time I went there, I did an open mic, and I was dying terribly to the point where he turned off the lights.
Oh, Jamie?
Whoa. Yeah, he turned off the lights on me. And then all of a sudden, I took out my lighter and lit it up and started talking, and then just he turned him back on.
Okay.
And he goes, that's what I wanted. I wanted real stuff, not scripted stuff. And I had a lot of scripted stuff, and ever since I have ideas and stuff, but I don't write anything.
You're very, very off the cuff.
I
was just trying to describe you to some people today, like, because somebody saw the show and they're like, oh, he was great. And
I have ideas, but nothing's written in stone.
Yeah, I don't do it either. I don't write either, yeah.
You know, and I like that.
Yeah.
So wait, you guys go and do your show without really knowing what you're going to... You kind of have an idea of what you're going to do, or you just go totally play it.
Except
by
2 minutes before the show, I think to myself, I got nothing to effing talk about. And then I go up on stage, and as soon as I'm walking up,
that is so
it starts hitting me.
Really?
And over the years, I've accomplished having a great confidence that I'm not going to fall or fail. And not everything is funny.
Right.
Not everything is not funny.
It's, right.
You know, it's a catch and fall. And as long as I'm on the edge, I want you on the edge.
Right.
You know, and that to me is
that's cool.
Stand up.
I'm a little more. I have a plan in mind. When I first started, I wrote everything out. Then I would just write bullet points, and then I just scrapped that all together and just sort of, I have a pretty good idea what's gonna. Except when I do a one man show. If I do a one man show, and I'm doing an hour, and that's a whole different thing. Then I'll have to write bullet points. But if it's just a regular show, you just want to go with the flow, because sometimes, you know, sometimes the crowd, you know, a bit will have to go, should go here, and then another bit goes there.
If you're not recording for the film or something,
right.
You go to a show to enjoy the spontaneity of the show. Like even when you sing and so forth, you might slide a little bit here, all of a sudden it catches on. Like when I did your show,
I didn't know
what to expect. They didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I just start talking, and then I have enough, you know, I've lived a pretty good life, so I have a lot of experiences I can draw from just talking to one person. You know?
Once you've been doing it for a long enough time, you got enough material that, you know, something's going to come out. So.
Right.
You hope.
Right.
Yeah. What's the difference between comedy in, say, 81 and comedy now?
Well, now...
Because there was a boom then, and there's a boom now.
There's a boom now. And I would say the biggest thing is rewording things so people will listen and not shut down because of the political correctness that's going on.
So you really think that it's...
I think it affects it, but I also think that a comic's responsibility is to find how to say what they want to say.
I agree with you.
You know, a lot of go, well, it's too PC and I can't... You know, yeah and no.
Exactly.
Because, look, I love the greats. I got to see a lot of them live many, many times.
Right.
But those same people were the stepping stones to the comics of today.
Right.
And if the comics of today want to do what they did, it wouldn't work.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't work for them today.
Right. Now, when you're talking about the greats, who are you talking about?
Richard Pryor.
Right.
You know, I loved Richard Pryor. I would watch him at the Comedy Store. He would sit in the way back when I was doing The Door, and he eventually would go up. Paul Mooney.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then Sam.
Sam Kinison,
know, but even more so than Sam was, why is it just losing my face?
Bill Hicks?
Well, Bill Hicks was okay with that. I liked him, but it's still too involved with his own head.
See, that's why I always thought. It's funny because I don't, I know this is heresy for a lot of comedy fans, but I don't find Bill Hicks funny.
If you say something like, well, you know, Hicks was all right, but boom. No. Everybody and their mother's going to come after you.
No, we'll come after me. And I've said this before on other podcasts. I think his material is great. I think it's very well written, very interesting, very, very, I love it. His delivery, though, like you say, I think he's a little in his head. Even when Dennis Leary would rip his stuff off, I thought Lance Leary did it funnier.
You know, it's if you're inspired by somebody to go move on and you're not stealing every single word.
But, right.
You know, if you say something and then I tag along with it, like we're having a conversation, that's what comedy is.
Yeah.
You know, if you rip off word for word
somebody,
then I'm sorry, you're stealing.
Yeah, no, I give you that.
You know, but I mean...
Lenny Bruce, the same thing.
Yeah.
But
Lenny Bruce was fine, and then all of a sudden he got so involved with his court hearings and everything else that after a while you're going,
yeah,
you know.
What cracks me up is when Jerry Seinfeld of all people is like, "Geez, comedy's getting too PC." Like you are the
he is the reason.
Yes, what I'm saying when you started, they wanted to shoehorn you and make you into a Leno or Seinfeld or a clean comic, right? Yeah. Of even more politically correct than what passes for politically correct now, correct?
Yes.
So what's the difference?
And I could never do that. Yeah. I mean, because there's things happen in each one of our lives that isn't politically correct.
Right.
Right.
Talk to the person that isn't a comic that gets treated badly one way or the other, a woman that gets, you know, life is not politically correct.
Yeah.
We'd like it to be.
Right.
But it's not.
It's not.
But I just love it. It's like, I can't play colleges. My one sock in the laundry bin is too edgy for the kids.
Well, because the tide is against the Chinese building.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but it's an interesting, weird political correctness, because you can't say, for instance, you couldn't say Oriental on stage, but you can do a rape joke.
Yeah.
So that rape is okay.
Unless it was an Oriental.
Yeah, you can't rape an Oriental.
No. No.
I guess Lisa Lampanelli's out of business.
Well, she got her own mess, though.
You know what? It's funny, she was certain comics will go over that, and they're just accepted. It's just him.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, and that's Kathy Griffith got, oh.
Yeah, but I mean, that wasn't funny. That was, I mean.
It wasn't.
I'm not a Trump fan, but I thought it
was. I don't think it was funny either, but.
But I think you should be able to.
She shouldn't have got the backlash that she got.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, this is where I disagree with you.
Okay.
Because let me tell you something. I'm not a Trump fan.
Yeah.
At all. But, and to me, and this, she even said this and admitted it, it's not necessarily Trump. Trump's a public figure. You should do whatever you want. The people that actually got their heads beheaded from ISIS are watching that. Their families.
I can see that.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, it's more involved than, oh, I don't like Trump. And there's more clever and funny ways.
Well, I don't doubt that it could have been. Yeah, I didn't think it was funny.
Yeah, I was like, no, come on. The thing is, you know, even though it's Trump and he's an asshole, whatever, I think you have to have a little modicum of respect for the presidential office. If somebody did that to Obama,
they could crucify it,
and yeah. I think they should.
Here's the way I look at it. I'm not a Trump fan.
Yeah.
But if he can't respect the office, I surely can.
Okay.
You know? And I really would want him to succeed.
Right.
Instead of what's going on. But I agree. I don't think that's going to happen, so...
And the thing is,
and now the best thing we can do is just go, hey, you know what? Wait until the re-election. Do it then. Move past this impeachment.
Well, I want him out of office, but I don't necessarily want him dead or beheaded.
No, I don't want none of that.
You know, but
I want him around to stick around and see what happens.
Well, I want a new president because honestly, you can't make fun of Trump because he's such a parody of himself.
He makes fun of himself.
He's just his hair's stupid, his makeup's stupid. There's no way you can make him funny. He's already a fucking buffoon.
That's why I will say things about him in a private sector.
Right.
And my personal opinions, but on stage, why even bother anymore?
But I mean, anybody does a Trump joke, it's the same shtick.
There's a comic
SNL has been doing this for so long, and it's so freaking boring.
But it's nothing to do anymore. Ugh. There's a comic.
It's annoying,
there's
actually.
There's a comic who's very, very funny, and... he's a Republican.
Right.
And he says a few things, and you laugh at him because they're funny.
Yeah.
Because it's funny on both sides, okay?
Sure.
It is.
And by the time he gets to it, he goes, oh, well, now he tells everybody he's a Trump supporter. Well, too late. You already like me. Because you do already
like
him.
That's funny.
And he's very, very funny. And people are forgetting what funny is.
Yeah.
You know, they go, oh, you can't talk about this. You can't. Funny's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
If you make fun of a non-Trump supporter, it's just as funny if you hit the right points.
Right.
You know?
So, although it'd be funny if Buttigieg gets in there, because then what are you going to do?
Then all of a sudden, we can't talk about Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris is good. You know, she's so mixed that who knows? But anyway, I don't know.
I'm really hoping there's a day when you say, hey, that's a good person, and you don't lead it off with a yellow person, whatever.
No, I'm just saying as far as comedy-wise.
Well, as far as comedy-wise, there's so many other things to talk about.
Right. And I really want to talk about that. But
that are caused by whatever this president or
right.
administration or the past administration
right.
did, and that's affecting us.
Right.
The president being up there right now is not affecting us directly at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
The things he's done in the past and other presidents have, that's right. what we should talk about.
Right. Well, before I really want to get off the subject. I don't know how we got on it. But
you started it.
I did. And I apologize.
Did it wasn't him? Yeah, it was him.
It was him.
I apologize.
It's okay.
What
chocolate pudding.
No, what is what what I've got a joke about that. A very kind of disgusting non-PC joke. What is the what line have you crossed? What's the joke that really crossed the line that you said?
I have this joke about how I started smoking pot.
Right.
I found I do cleanouts and stuff for people, you know, for estates. And
oh,
was,
really?
Yeah, and I was cleaning out this house, and I found a bunch of child porn, and I was disgusted.
Holy
what am I
going to
do? I'm going to call the cops. But then I opened another drawer and found 2 pounds of pot. Well, hell, wait a minute.
I know what I keep and what I would leave.
Yeah, well, what I was doing was I smoked almost 2 pounds of pot and found out that, you know, it takes the edge off of child porn.
Holy shit.
Now, that's funny.
Thank you. And a bunch of people, like, looked at me like, and they started laughing because they realized it's a joke, people.
It's a freaking joke. People need to take it, yeah.
Yeah, that's one that might take a moment.
It crossed a little bit. I couldn't see home plate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I stepped on the punchline. Either I thought you were really telling the story. Do you really clean out houses?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know.
No. I've been doing that for as long as I've been doing stand up.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, I raised 4 kids doing it.
Wow.
By myself. I mean, you know.
What other strange things have you
found? Well, I do antiques and collectibles and right? classic cars and bikes. And I find them when people call me up and go, hey, I need a house cleaned up. There's a hoarder. I'm the guy that comes in and cleans the hoarder's home.
Wow.
That is so cool.
It's amazing.
What's the most valuable thing you found?
Well, I can't tell you that because it's still in litigation. But no, I found what's her name's? Not the Ruby shoe, but I found one of... Julie Garland's shoes.
No
signed
way.
To Sid, 1939.
Wow.
What?
I still have that. I find...
No, they'll pay for your kids' college education.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, yes and no. You know, sometimes you find something, oh, wow, this is worth a lot. No.
Well, give me an example of that.
Some of the old... I have old photographs from Ross Field, which is the old balloon academy back in the 1915, 16, you know, for Army and all that. And
right.
I sold some of that. And I thought it'd be worth a little more, but it wasn't. But it was still worth pretty good.
Okay.
You know, and then I love old photographs.
Right.
And I have a lot of, every home I've ever cleaned out, no matter how clean or not, you find the porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's got it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, everybody's got it. I've got some World War II
World War II porn?
Yes.
What?
Yes, but what it is, it's amazing because it's homegrown pictures of black men with white women. And people are always trying to buy that up from me. Not that I have it in my car.
Really?
But, yeah.
Interracial 1940s
yep.
porn.
And that's very sought after. There's people that are into that.
Wow.
You know, and then I
didn't know interracial 1940s porn was a thing.
Apparently it is.
Wow.
You know, but there's all sorts of little things like that. Then I get an estate recently. The guy was an astrologist.
Right.
And he built the first, this one special telescope in high school.
Okay.
And it carried him the rest of his life. And he was an engineer and everything else. And he had some wonderful books. And he had a lot of weapons. I'm not into weapons, but,
okay.
You know, intriguing things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find a lot of that stuff.
Well, now you tell me. If you find any knives, let me know.
Oh, you like knives?
My father deals knives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I find knives all the time. You know.
And speaking of 1940s, you ever date interracially?
What? No.
No, okay. Just curious. Anyway.
Not really. Well, not dated. Involved.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, I'm just trying to segue. But
but I want to know, how did you get into that? That is such an interesting...
Yeah, how did you get into that in
okay.
the industry?
How did you start? I want to know
simple.
That.
One day, I was 17 years old and I had an old Chevy pickup. And the lady goes, hey, I'll give you $100 to take this dump. It was a bunch of trash and so right. forth. So I took it to the dump. And right next to me, there was somebody throwing out suitcases. And I looked over, they left. I looked over and there was all this letter. I took more out of the dump that day
okay.
than I dropped off.
Right.
And it was this lady who was a slave at one time in Sacramento, in Fremont. And her husband was a chef at the Waldorf. All this history and all these letters. And I'm like, I still have some of it. And I'm getting goosebumps. I remember reading it going, oh, this is so cool. So the next time I had a chance to clean out a garage, I go, I'll do it. And I start working for real estate and lawyers. And wow. Now it's a business. There's junk guys and then there's me.
Okay.
I throw out the trash, but I sort everything through. By the time I'm done, I know more about that family than the family knows about them.
Wow.
Nice. You know? Nice. I think...
That's a cool...
It's you know what? It's afforded me to live the life I live because I don't work well with others at stores and stuff.
You're a comedian.
Yeah, I don't work well with others. You want me to do what? No.
That is so cool.
See, now you're kind of doing that now. Now you're independent. I mean, you had Otto's daughter, but now you got your music you're doing, you're composing. Also, Motivation Mondays.
Motivation Mondays.
Is that still a thing?
That's still a thing. I tried to, I skipped a few on YouTube where I just, like, inspire people, you know, I like doing that. You know what? It's actually for myself, too, where I'm like, you know, all right, it's Monday, you know, let's...
Well, you were telling me in private, you're like, sometimes it's hard to get motivated.
It is hard.
Motivation Monday.
It is hard to get motivated for Motivation Monday.
She has a motivation YouTube channel. She motivates people.
That's why I had one that said, fuck motivation, you know.
Really? Fuck motivation?
Yeah.
It's hard to do that because you want to be
And sometimes you just have to be like, you know what? I'm not motivated today. And it's okay. It's okay not to always be go.
It's a personal day when you're not motivated. You know? You just take it for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this we put so much pressure on ourselves all the time to, like, for me personally, where I'm always like, oh God, I gotta do something. I have to do so many things, and it's just overwhelming. And
I went to Cancun a few weeks ago for 10 days.
You didn't invite me?
My wife would have had a problem. And not really. She would have liked you. But no, I went to Cancun, and then I went to the Mayan ruins in Tucan, way at the end. It's closer to Belize. And I'm driving. And the whole time I was in Mexico, I was at no problems.
Oh, nice.
I got back here and started twitching again.
Exactly.
Seriously, within 2 days, my eyes started twitching.
Right. It's the L.A. hustle.
Exactly. Yeah. And I thought it was crap.
Yeah.
Until I experienced it.
It's something about it.
It's like if we were able, and I could never do this because I'm too self-centered to do it. But if I was able to go to an island and live the rest of my life with no phones or anything else, it would take me a little bit. But wouldn't it be great?
Oh, my God, yeah.
You wouldn't have any kind of stress or anything. One day, whoever's in charge of the world blows it up. You didn't know. You just die like a butterfly. You're okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You wouldn't want to know what's happening?
No. You know what? In a way, I'm a comic, so yes, I want to know what's happening. But I think I could flip out and go to an island and just live the rest of my life happy.
Okay. That's many years in the game.
You know, and it's just, of course, I'd miss stand-up because I love stand-up.
Oh, you could do stand-up on the island.
Yeah. Probably the better audience is the crabs and the sea lions.
Yeah. you never can tell. But that's the way you felt.
You can YouTube it.
Well, that's the way you felt. There's plenty of people do that. So that's the way you felt coming back from France?
I was anxious to come back because I wanted to get back to work. I wanted to start working on music, but I was just too freaking, like, jet lagged.
But you can work on music anywhere.
Yeah, you can.
Because there's musicians everywhere.
Absolutely. And
there's
lots
of comics, they say, but not really. Yeah. So you're okay with music.
Oh yes, there are.
No.
Oh, you mean real comics?
Yeah.
Real comics.
Yeah.
People that are funny because they're funny. People that think of things because they think different, not because they want to make you laugh. It's because they think different.
Right.
You know, of course our goal is to make you laugh.
Right.
But not by stretching how you feel.
Right.
Right.
It's how you feel.
And then you have the YouTube channel, you have the music, you have the composing, and the fashion designing too.
Well, I designed, actually this is my design, the shawl, the sun protector shawl.
Let's see.
Yeah, here we go.
Is that one piece?
It's one piece, and it's basically so that when you're driving, it's so awesome because I needed something, right?
Oh,
when you're
driving, it doesn't burn your arms.
Exactly. I just hate
that. Stay goth.
You stay goth. Stay pale. You know?
Stay pale.
Keep your chest and your arms nice and pale.
So you kind of got a tan.
This is as pale as I'm getting.
Yeah, no.
I was wearing it for the most time in France. And we were mostly inside, you know, just like doing all these panels and stuff like that. So the clothing line is really focused just on the shawl at the moment.
Because
I don't have that much time. I have all these ideas, you know, but I'm like, oh my God. Oh. Like,
that's actually a very good idea. I mean,
yeah.
I see
I needed
a lot of Asian women when they drive.
Yes.
They have that one sleeve on.
Yeah,
He almost said Oriental.
But see,
no,
what
I did not. I wasn't talking about rugs.
But see, you know what I didn't like about that? Because it's tight. I don't like the tight thing. I like.
No, but I'm saying that would sell very well.
Exactly.
It's very chic.
Oh, my God. You nailed it. Yeah. Exactly. It's functional, fashionable.
I would wear it,
yes.
Okay, baby. Yes, we'll make you one.
You got a double extra man.
But I have more ideas that I want to, you know, bring to life. And I have also, like, the Akamata hoodie and inked, you know. Like,
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah.
So start with
for
the
festivals
shawl.
Festivals and stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be great at a festival, sure.
Oh.
Well, what happened?
This girl that I met in Cannes, she gave it to me. So I was like, it's okay, but I lost it here. That's good. Because I can
still.
Lose
it.
Didn't lose it on a plane.
Now I can use it for my water bottle.
Okay.
Or
multifunctional too, see?
A tassel, maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I also vocal coach. So that's how I make
my living
as well.
Oh, that's another thing, because I was looking at your Patreon today.
Yeah, I do vocal coaching as well. That's how I've been making my living. But I'm kind of in transition where I just really want to focus on making music full-time. Travel full-time.
Of course.
Maybe.
Now, how you have to have some sort of talent to go to a vocal coach to begin with, right?
You know.
Because I can't sing with the
you
band.
You have to have definitely the will to wanting to do that, the passion. If you don't have the passion, then if you're not as talented to begin with, it might be really hard for you. But if you don't have as much talent to come in, but you have that passion, you can learn how to sing.
My wife has passion to sing, and she doesn't have the balls yet. But
you know,
she's very talented.
Yeah.
But I think she's been suppressed most of her life. A lot of her friends and her late husband used to play guitar for a lot of people. And having someone that would be supportive like that would be great.
Yeah.
You know, I think what you do is great.
Well, because I'm not so much of a technical coach. I'm way more of what you were just talking about, and you too. It's so much of it is mental. It's psychological.
Really?
You know, so once you kind of tap into that, like getting rid of that fear, getting rid of that, like,
yeah, if you see
being
people
subconscious, with, you know what I mean?
If you see people with confidence and they're confident, like, it carries over on stage.
Absolutely.
Because you're the one that's selling.
Yes.
And what are you selling? You're selling your goods, and your goods are you.
You're selling yourself, yeah.
You know, and that's a very important
thing. And
being
authentic, because a lot of singers, they compare themselves to, like, Celine Dion or, like, you know, Christina Aguilera or someone like that. And it's like, no, you are you.
Right.
You have your own voice, your
own
range.
Who was that kid that was just on Alexandro? He was on The Voice or something.
Oh, I haven't watched the latest.
I watched that because, you know, I'm almost hitting that age where
it's mandatory.
I'm watching everything. Oh, look, that person's got talent. I'm crying.
Right.
But no, this guy was so good.
Right.
But he was himself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
you
that's what's
yourself.
Important. When you sound like a cookie that everyone has on their shelf.
Boring.
Very.
You know.
So, where does the time go? I wanted to get.
Is
into,
it over?
No. It's not hard. we got 3 more hours to go. No.
Okay.
No. I wanted to get some of the stories you were telling me at the whiskey. You were regaling me and Hannah about the Sunset Strip back in the day.
Oh
in the
my
80s.
Gosh! Well,
you would do comedy at these places.
You have to write a book about that.
This one comic and I, he goes, hey, they want us to go do a set over at the Rainbow.
Right.
And I go, huh? Okay.
It's like 87?
Yes.
86?
No, it was 80.
Or
85? 84.
84, okay.
84, 83, 84.
Okay.
And the little balcony.
Right.
Okay.
The Hollywood Vampire Balcony.
Yeah, is that what it's called? I don't know. It was the first time I was there.
No, there's a sign that says Hollywood Vampires, and I guess John Lennon and Keith Moon and Alice Cooper.
So that's where we have to perform from. Up there with a mic.
You ever been to Rainbow, Jacqueline?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, when we first moved to LA, I did a few acoustic shows there.
Okay, so here's the stage.
So upstairs, right? Like on
it's upstairs. But the stage is down here. You're not, you're looking either at the stage or you're looking at the crowd.
Okay.
So, and Guns N' Roses was there that night.
Oh.
And I remember going,
that's insane.
My friend goes up there and he dies a miserable death. And I'm watching this going, I'm next? So I hung from the balcony because the guys are trying to spit on us. And I go, I can spit lower than you can spit higher. So don't. And I'm leaning on the thing and I'm doing my stuff. And all of a sudden the owner comes out and goes, can you go to the whiskey? And I go, I thought it was over, man.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know how your balls get back tucked in. Well, not you, but your balls get tucked in. You're going, jeez. I just had an argument with, what's his name from Guns N' Roses?
Axl?
Axl.
Axl.
Because that was the time when he was using a lot. And, you know, and we had.
Look at awesome. Star Trek.
That yeah. must have been awesome.
And yeah, we had an argument. So. I go to the,
about what?
Well, because he was being an ass.
Oh, okay.
You know, and I told him, hey, man, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm a young kid. I don't care who you are.
Right, right.
Because, you know, before you really think, you open your mouth and then you go, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
That cost me. And so we went to the whiskey, and here's the whiskey, and I'm going, again, we have to do this crap? Nobody's there. Nobody's there for stand-up.
Right.
But it was $25. Both places.
Yeah, yeah.
That's $50. That's a lot, you know? So that went, that actually went pretty well. And then we started doing it every week.
Okay.
You know, to the point where I got, okay, this is easy. You know, it wasn't so hard anymore.
Right. So you were going to the Rainbow and the Whiskey, and, you know, you had to be, that was like, what, Poison, Motley Crue, all those guys. And
oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, because when I started out, there was the morgue. In Alhambra,
okay,
San Gabriel Morgue, or San Gabriel,
the actual morgue.
Yes, it closed
down.
Now
you're going goth.
No, it closed down. Yeah, it closed down. And right next door is where they opened. Well, they rented out to Motley Crue, and Stormer, this band.
Okay,
and they had different rooms like this one here, studios, and it was an overnight thing. And most of the guys from Motley Crue would live in there. And Stormer. So okay. I was there every night for parties and everything.
Oh,
else.
Really? So when...
Yeah, so Timmy Gaines, which
so
is
cool.
in Striper.
So like the dirt, like,
yeah.
like you were there.
I was there. And then Striper, Timmy Gaines was the bass player for...
The Christian heavy metal.
Yes, yeah. But before that he was in Stormer. And so you're sitting there going, what are you doing? You're throwing Bibles at people now? That's how well we knew them.
And it worked.
And it worked perfectly for them, you know, and they're very talented.
Yeah, no.
Timmy was very, very talented. And then one time we were at this place, it was Vandy Camps.
Okay.
In Arcadia. And Tommy and I had a gross-out party. You know, we get there late. He had just finished.
Okay, now you and the guy from Striper are having a gross-out party.
No, no. Tommy.
Well, Tommy Lee?
Tommy Lee.
Oh, okay.
But Timmy was there because we'd go there late night after
even
shows.
Better. So you and Tommy Lee are having a gross-out party.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Okay. We're all set up. I got to hear this.
So what it was you put everything inside, you know, in a milkshake, and you got to drink it. So then he drinks this one, and I go, wait. I put ashes and cigarette butts, and I drink this thing. He goes, that's it. That's enough. And that was right before they signed with the T's hair and everything, because he was showing us the copies of stuff, you know. And this was way back in the day. I got to experience a lot of stuff between then.
So you were like Ozzy before Ozzy, because that was the whole thing. They dared him to snort ants.
Yeah.
And you were
doing way
the
same before
kid.
That.
Yeah.
You know, and Tommy could do anything. He was.
Well,
wait,
what's the wildest thing you saw him do?
Just that kind of stuff, and you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we would hang there, and then. The Van Halens were there all the time. I grew up in that era.
Okay.
You know, there was a place in Arcadia called Roxanne's.
Okay.
There was a little club that was probably about the size of this, but it was hopping all the time. And then Snooki's.
Was it you that told me that the Van Halen played their high school dance or something?
Oh, they played my high school dance.
Yeah.
I went to Bishop Amont, and our senior year... no, our second to senior year.
That's insane.
I didn't graduate senior year. And
I told you, he's got some great stories.
It was David Lee Roth and the rest of them in our gymnasium, you know. And these Catholic girls lost their mind, you know.
I can't imagine, yeah.
Because you got Dave wearing the leather really low, you know, where you could see the little devil line, you know, devil's trail.
Oh.
And I took this, Cuban, and I took this other Cuban gal, Ileana.
Right.
And all she did was stand in front of that speaker. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. I couldn't get in the word edgeways.
Just staring at that David Lee Roth
treasure
trail.
Oh, Lord, look at that. You know?
And little did they know. And
2 weeks, and here's the funny thing. After the dance, that whole week, that band sucked, man. 2 weeks later, they signed. They played our school. They were great. I go, you suck.
That always happens, right?
Yeah. I know. And it was like, you know. Money. But
when you watch them and you know, you know, forget that Dave stole your girlfriend because he did that to everybody. But
he didn't steal my girlfriend. Yeah, I know.
He got her excited.
Who didn't he steal?
Yeah,
I mean, he was like fully sex right there.
Right.
You know.
Right. But I mean, when you saw them play a high school dance, were you like, they're a little better than most of the bands?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But then again, I used to hang out at their after backyard parties.
Oh, that's right. You're telling me that.
Yeah, because I would open by opening. This is what I call opening. Hey, introduce the band, would you?
Okay. You know? So you introduced Van Halen at a keg party.
Yeah, and
that is just so badass.
But it's
badass.
Great, you know.
Sorry.
No, you know, you can say badass.
No, I slammed Van Halen.
Can she? Because it's your show.
No, say badass and slam things on the table.
But the thing is that sometimes I sit back and go, you know, I've had a hell of a wild ride, you
That's
know?
That's insane.
I worked for someone one time, and I was doing their tapes and stuff. It was programming. And I come down, and I look in the studio, and there's John Entwistle.
Okay.
And Rod Stewart.
Right. John Entwistle from The Who and Rod Stewart. Okay.
And I'm like, and the guy goes, hey, we're going to lunch. You want to come with us? Yeah. You know? Keith Richards. Yeah, I want to go.
Oh, my God.
So we spend the whole afternoon there, and then a couple years later, I go to the top of the Rainbow to the bar, you know?
Right.
And Sam is there, Sam Kennison. He goes, hey, hey! Because Sam was always really nice. If he liked you,
yeah,
he wanted to introduce you to people and, you know.
Right.
He goes, I want to meet somebody. As I'm walking there, there's John Entwistle. He goes, Franchi, how you doing? And Sam goes, what? You know? So, I mean, like we've all seen a lot of things.
Yeah,
you
know?
And by the way, it's Franchi, not Frenchie.
Yeah, it's Franchi.
How many people got
Franchi.
That wrong?
And you know, they call me asshole too. I don't even know how that sounds right.
I can see that, but and you're Cuban. Was that ever an impediment in comedy, or nobody cared?
Well, back then, you see, I don't let people. I'm not one of these Latin comics that has to say my ethnicity every 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, because I live my life the way it is. I don't think I'm brown. I don't think I'm this. Sometimes I do if you know, someone's giving me crap or something.
Right.
But for the most part, I just think of myself as a person living.
Right.
You know, and it's funny because when you start looking at things past the color, mm-hmm. you realize we're really all the same.
We are.
But unless you're white, you don't really have those problems.
Right.
But if you're any kind of ethnicity, you have problems.
Right.
If you speak with a different accent, people look at you like, and you know, they don't realize. When I was in Mexico, the saddest thing was that I wish people could really see how nice it really is.
Yeah.
And how genuine people are and how not stupid they are.
Right.
Well, here's the other thing too, because the Latin countries, if you misidentify somebody, they don't like if you talk to a Mexican and you think they're from Guatemala, or somebody from Guatemala is from El Salvador, or somebody from Cuba is here. They hate that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Tell a Puerto Rican that
Dominican,
he's Cuban.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Tell a Puerto Rican he's Cuban. Nah.
Exactly.
We're American.
So when you do Latin shows, there's no change in the act, huh?
Not really. I mean, I raised 4 kids.
Yeah.
I didn't raise them as a Cuban father.
Right.
I didn't raise them as a Latin father. I raised them as a father.
Right.
And I had different experiences in my life that I gave to my kids. My kids are very proud of being Cuban. Well, except my boy. He thinks he's Irish.
Yeah.
But
Cuban, Irish, you know.
He goes, I'm Irish. No, you're not. No, you're not. Your mom was French and black.
Not French. French.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
French.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah. It's, you know, life is what it is, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and you're right. Everybody's the same everywhere, and the more you travel,
we
the
all
more you
want
find it out.
kind of the same things. We want to succeed.
Yes.
Right.
Good people want to succeed.
And you want to be happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone wants to be succeed. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to love.
I'm truly one of those guys that one of my friends succeeds. It's not what can you do for me now. Man, good for you.
Exactly.
Because you have to be supportive. It comes back.
Exactly.
If it doesn't come back today, it'll come back in our next life. Exactly. I don't care.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You know, if I heard you won the lotto or the all of a sudden you got syndicated.
Exactly.
Good going.
That's great. No, that's
you know.
That's the way it is. It's you know, you're never going to succeed off somebody else's
I've watched enough people in this business make it, and I've seen enough people be assholes.
Mm-hmm.
All I want is to see succeeding.
Right.
You know, whether it's me or someone else, if another comic makes it, that's another comic makes it. You're not going to hear me go, ah, that bastard.
So you're not going to sit there, God damn it, he got a Netflix special and I didn't,
you
know, none of that.
No, because you know what? It's up to me to get it, not them.
Exactly.
So
it's
true.
Up to me.
Exactly.
So if I want to do a good job, I got to do a good job.
Exactly.
You know, I can't blame you for my shortcomings.
Yeah.
Right.
They're mine.
Exactly.
It's like musicians when they say, oh, this band sucks, you know, we are so much better. And I'm like, well, obviously you're not, because you're sitting here bashing that band that just succeeded.
I ain't got no room
you should
for
be,
that.
Yeah, you should be writing a song, okay? You should be like honing on your craft and getting better and working harder.
I used to say this thing all the time because I know a lot of musicians. Right. I go, hey, we can't all be the Beatles, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you can't. You can't all be Lenny Bruce. You can't all be Richard Pryor. You can't be Dylan Brody. You can't be all these things. You got to be you.
Right.
And success is so, everybody's, your success, your definition of success and my definition might be completely different, right? Yours might be like you want to play like a big stadium and someone else is like, hey, I just want to make enough to just live and travel a little bit.
My rest of my life know? For someone to go, hey, I know who you are. Here's a donut. That's success to me.
And do what you love.
And
you
do
know?
What you love.
Yeah.
Because if every night...
You already win. If you do what you love, you're a winner.
When I performed at CIA.
Right.
When I went home, I was buzzed because it worked.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter if it was CIA. The people that owned it were really nice.
Yeah.
So cool. Calm.
Yeah,
he's
very.
Cool.
It didn't matter if it was a corner. If I made you laugh.
Right.
Yeah.
I succeeded.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And you got to look at it that way, because the more negative you put in your body, the more negative you spew.
Right.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, the person I want, one of the people I want to have success is you, because you're starting your own podcast.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I had not mentioned that to me.
You know what? I don't know why I haven't mentioned that to you. It was something I've been wanting to do for like over a year now.
Okay.
I think we maybe briefly talked about it.
Maybe briefly. Yeah.
And the main thing is about the podcast is about just being empathetic, like more empathy in this world, right? We need that more. I want people to be heard, because everybody has a story, and so many people feel like alone. They feel like they're not being heard, they're not being seen. And I really want to open that up to everyone to say, hey, you know what? This person looks on the outside all perfect, but they have depression issues.
I think that's an awesome thing, because you know what?
If
we just opened up and listened to people, we wouldn't have all these shootings. If somebody, this person's different. Celebrate it.
Yes.
Don't make them feel like they have to prove different.
And not to be ashamed of that. A lot of people don't want to share that, right? Because, yes, we don't want to be negative. So you don't want to be always dwelling on it. But it's okay to say, hey, you know what, Mark? I have a shit day today.
Yes.
You know? Like, I feel really depressed. And you're like, oh, my God, me too, right? Because all of a sudden you give someone else permission to just really be real versus being on Instagram and seeing all the perfect life.
Here's how I deal with it. Try this. If somebody's having a bad day, here's what I do when I have a bad day. Try that. Well, me, I try to write. I try to create. That's what
I do. Exactly.
So what your podcast is going to be called, or is called?
The Stories That Bind Us.
The Stories That Bind
Us.
And what type of guests are you going to have?
Everyone. Yes. Like, whoever wants to come on, I want them to be on. And you are, oh my God, we're going to spend like 5 hours talking.
We both want to come on,
I would love to have you on. Like, seriously, I have... One person, my first real episode was with a singer-songwriter who went through like a depression, and she's a mom, and like, you know, she stopped her band because of that. So it was like really hard for her. She kind of reinvented herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two people that just went through cancer and their experience and it was just so inspiring, like how they really talked about.
See, that's what people need, inspiring.
You know?
They need to be able to focus on someone else's issues and realize they're not alone.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Because everybody has, we're not so special that we are alone. Yes. Right. There's people just like
and
us.
And loneliness really is an epidemic in today's world because people feel so alone and disconnected, although we are connected.
No, right. Because that's not socializing.
It's not.
It's not. Yeah, people are not connecting on a real level. Anymore.
Exactly.
When people go see your show or your show or my show.
Or your show.
What they're doing is they're experiencing real life right now.
And
instead
that's nothing
of
like it. That's nothing like it. You know?
And we all
need that.
I've seen it with both of you. And where does the time go? Now that's been an hour and I could talk to both of you forever.
I know.
It went
by so
quick. There's so much more I want to get.
Because it's conversation. We love conversations. And that's exactly what we, you know, ache for.
I don't think anything phony here. That's why.
Well, you know, I could listen to your accent all day. I just love it. You have the softest
listen
German
to
accent.
You, but not me. I'll talk to
thank God I don't talk like the Germans that talk like this.
I'm used to like Colonel Klink and stuff. Like, Hogan?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and you don't have that. You have just.
I think when I came to America, I was trying really hard to like imitate like the American accent, so that's why it's probably a little bit softer.
Yeah, it's very soft. Yeah. And you have that French lilt now, too.
Ugh. Bonjour. So, like, I just want to go, like, when I was in France, I don't really speak French. I just know a few words, but, like, I love going around, bonjour, bonjour. Like,
I have a friend of mine, mom, very French, married his father because he was in World War II. I love this woman. She, every time she answers the phone, hello.
Hello.
And she's 100 years old, and every time she does, my nipples get hard.
Right.
I love it.
Hello.
It's such a sexy language. Really.
It is. Much better than Spanish.
And Italian. I love Italian too.
No, that's the language of love.
Spanish is weird, man.
Oye, ¿cómo estás?
Or oye, ¿cómo estás? You know.
Yeah, but you see, that's what it sounds to me like. The guy's going, get in the van. Maybe because I was raised with it. You know?
Half the time they are.
Yeah, that's true.
You're the one getting
get in la troca.
You're the one getting kitty porn out of a house. But Franchi.
No, it took the edge off of it.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
2 hours smoking pot and then, yeah.
Hey, is that my brother?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit.
I think I took that picture. So, how do people get a hold of you, Franchi?
Well.
That's why I'm so fucked up.
Yeah. Hear more of a fucked up child porn jokes.
You can. That comes back to bite me. Facebook.
Yes.
Franchi San Pedro. I'll be at the Ice House on the 25th and Taco Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
And then
I might swing by then.
And yeah, please do.
I love the Ice House.
Wait,
Ice House is in Pasadena.
Oh.
Let's go.
Ice House, and yes, let's do it.
And then on August 1st, I'm at the Ice House for the All-Star. One's a Tuesday, one's a Thursday.
I'll have to do the Tuesday because I'm always taping for Thursday. But Franchi is one of the best comics I've seen.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
He's terrific. And I mean, before we go, real quick, ranking since you played them all, L.A. comedy clubs, what do you think? Is Ice House number one? Is Laugh Factory number one? Comedy Store, Improv?
Well, I haven't done the Comedy Store in a long time. I would say the Comedy Store is the best place to go because you're constantly playing. You learn a lot from watching all the other comics, young or old.
Right.
There's always room to learn.
Right.
The Laugh Factory, I love that one in Long Beach. I love it the most.
Yeah, it's a bigger
venue, in a humongous place. My favorite place is the Ice House. I've been going there since before I was a comic. I watched the Smothers Brothers there.
Really? Oh.
We've
got to have you back and hear all this stuff.
I saw that when I was a little kid through the doors, you know. Flappers is okay.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't played there for a while. A friend of mine just got in.
Right.
So I'll be there more often just to buy a beer.
Yeah.
But those are the places I love the most. And all these little rooms. Billy Blatz has got a great room in Van Nuys.
Right. I'm playing there.
Yeah, it's a Springbok.
I'm playing there on not this Saturday, but next Saturday. So.
Really? Yeah. And Billy,
we can make it out.
And Billy he does a great job.
Yeah.
He doesn't, not a lot of people know this, but he's a great drummer.
Have you been to the dojo here?
No, I haven't been to the JoJo.
Yeah, I haven't performed, but it's a nice room.
Mike Muratori told me about the JoJo, but he always promises and never shows.
Yeah, but but I think I agree with you. Honestly, because and I haven't played in a while, but like Laugh Factory Hollywood was like my favorite because it's so impossible to bomb there the way they have it set up.
Yeah.
Same with Ice House.
Yeah, well, no. I bombed once at the Ice House way back in the beginning.
Right.
Ooh, wee, oh, wow. Too many painkillers.
Right.
You know, and way too many painkillers.
But would you agree with me?
No.
Laugh Factory Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's almost
impossible. It's made for comedy.
Exactly. So that would be my favorite.
You walk in, it's cold. I like cold rooms.
Right.
You know, it keeps people alert.
Improv's good, but you got to work.
I didn't mention the improv because I was never an improv comic. I performed there a few times, and I performed at their other clubs, satellite clubs, but I wasn't.
As far as the Melrose,
I wasn't TV quality.
Right, Melrose Improv is good, but you got to work.
Yeah,
I mean you can't just half-ass it there. And
back in the day, it was one of those places where if you were funny, you'd get the laughs.
Right. No,
it's a good place.
No, but I mean, like a set that you breeze through at the Laugh Factory, you got to really be on top of the crowd at the Improv. Yeah.
Well, they're a little more trendy.
Right. And Comedy Store, there's three rooms. Anyway, I can't get into it, but Franchi San Pedro on Facebook, not Twitter, Instagram. You got to work on that.
I got Twitter.
Okay, you got Twitter too, and see him at the Ice House.
Not your grandmother's shit. That's
okay, not your grandmother's shit on Twitter. Check them out at the Ice House. Definitely worth it. Ice House is a great club, and to see Franchi there is great. And Jacqueline,
you need an Instagram.
Yeah, all of the stuff that you got going on. What do you got?
JacquelineVanBierk.com, and I'm on Facebook as well. And
now it's your
Twitter, Pink Star Music, but I'm not really active.
Now, what does that mean, Pink Star Music?
It's I just love pink. I've always loved pink.
and how do we hear the podcast? Is it going to be on Spotify?
It's on Anchor.
Apple,
it's on Anchor. So, have you heard of Anchor?
No.
Yeah. It's distributed through Anchor and is on two other places that I actually don't even know at the moment. Because I'm just starting out. I just know. You know, it's one of those things. I don't even know. Like, I just have to do it. So I'm.
Right.
It's my mission, I think, to bring people together through stories. But
I gotta get this show on Anchor. I don't know.
Yeah, Anchor is free, and it's good for beginners, I guess.
Okay.
So the stories that bind us, anchor.com and then /. But if you go on Facebook, Jacqueline Van Bierk, it's there. Yeah.
And do you have any live performances coming up?
I was supposed to play the Dark Mark show again. That's coming up sometime soon, so I don't really know yet.
Okay,
but...
we'll talk about that.
Anyway. But, soon.
Anyway, we're late. My producer's about to kick us out of here. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week.
Thank you for having us. Bye.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.